Because, Cody, you know it's a sad day today. I know, man. It's the last we going to see of that beautiful Haley Atwell.
Oh, God. Best comic book show on TV.
Why is she got to go?
She's gone. It's at least gone for a year, and I don't know what I'm going to do.
Jesus Christ, it's a year?
At least, man.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Yeah, because it probably won't return to, like, the end of the year to somewhere. Oh, man.
I'm just sick with fucking Gotham. Oh,
hey, don't worry. We got Supergirl coming, too.
You fucking son of a bitch. Yeah.
I know you're excited about Supergirl, right?
God. My status just turned to fucking anger. Goddamn, I got reminded about that goddamn show.
If you don't know, Supergirl's, I think she has the stupidest fucking... I can't wait to see that origin. Hey, Clark! I was right behind you all the way!
Pulling that Wonder Woman shit with that show where she's like secretary by day.
Oh yeah, they are. That's right. It's because it's a cop. It's a cop it's drama.
It's procedural.
Yeah. Some shit. Like,
yeah, I'm like, well, I heard she's not gonna have a costume. Apparently, is that?
Yeah, man, you hit the nail on the coffin when you said that Wonder Woman show that got canceled, by the way, on its pilot. So, yeah.
Huh.
I guess we all doing Paul Rudd this week. That's the movie spoilers meme of the week right now. but now, people, we here at the recap. Marvel's Agent Carter, the finale.
Finale, man. Selena.
Yes. Selena. And we are the recap crew, the phenomenal one.
And Cody.
And, man, Cody, I was real excited to watch this episode, man. I really was. And then just to see it end, I was like, damn, I'm kind of sad. I'm kind of sad now.
I know. You realize, like, damn, man, I'm not going to have any good network TV for, like, next few weeks.
For me, this was, like, my Walking Dead season finale, my Breaking Bad season finale, my Mad Men season finale. This was my TV show season finale. I was like, god damn, dude, I got to wait, like you said, almost a year just for, damn.
Yeah, man. Gone way too soon, man. Way too soon.
And that's the difference between Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, or Mad Men is it was too soon.
Yeah, only 8 episodes, man.
God. You know, I didn't think this episode was as suspenseful as the other previous ones we fell in love with, but this one left a smile on my face the whole way through, man. I don't know why.
Yeah, it wrapped up quite nicely, my friend. Quite
yeah,
nicely.
Yeah. It wasn't a downer. It wasn't like a feel-good moment. I mean, too good of a feel-good moment. But it was just right in the middle of just like, I'm satisfied with this season.
Yeah, and that's exactly what a season finale should do.
I was when it ended, I was just like, I'm sad, but yet I'm fucking satisfied. I actually felt like, even if it didn't come back, I'd be like, I have a very good season of a spinoff character from a Captain America movie, which I didn't think was ever going to get made, unless it was just a short on one of these Marvel movies or something like that.
Right.
And it just managed to pick itself up. It was good at the beginning, a little slow, but it picked itself up in less than 3 episodes and ended off with a nice little... That ending, man. Woo!
Yeah, man. Yeah, we can get into that.
Oh, that's season 2, Cody. Oh! Goosebumps, baby. What does The Rock say when he gets back in the ring, whatever? He looks at the microphone and the motherfucker rubs his hand and it gets silent and all you hear is Rocky, Rocky, whatever. It's just, and he just goes, goosebumps. That's the only motherfucker that can do some shit like that, you know. Be like, nigga, you better say something important. You ain't saying shit in 2 minutes right now. So come on.
Right. How would I say that ring? I said anything.
Motherfucking crickets be cricketing. Like, yeah. Yeah. Let one of us get in one of them WWF rings, whatever, and pause for a moment and shit, man. Like, fucking toilet paper would be slowing. Remember what was that shit? ECW.
Yes.
There'd be chairs be thrown in the fucking house. Oh shit, Cody, run!
Not mad.
Oh yeah. This nigga ain't saying shit. I'm mad. but Cody, how about a fucking plot synopsis to the finale?
Is this last one if you want?
You know what? This is the one. I can guarantee I'm buying this on Blu-ray.
Yeah. Damn. This is his last wrap-up, dude. Damn. This just hit me.
Damn.
Well, here we go.
your last synopsis till season two, man.
Fuck, man. That really hurts.
If me and Cody would have watched this game, we'd have been holding each other crying. Just, Hey, Cody, we're reviewing a love movie this week, by the way, too.
Oh, boy.
Actually, it does involve love. So yes, it does.
Of course.
Oh, Cody, sign us off, or sign us in, it will.
Alrighty, so we pick up after the massacre that occurred at the cinema. Then we learn that the Howard Stark, he enters the SSR, and he shows them the true nature of the gas.
Mm-hmm.
And then we figure out that during World War II, that this gas they secretly deployed it on those soldiers at the Battle for No or for Now.
Yeah,
so that was the reason that. That there was no evidence of who massacred them. It turns out it was themselves.
The Joker couldn't even pull no shit off like this, because usually when he does his shit, like, everybody goes, it was the Joker. This shit was untraceable.
Right. So yeah. So that was used to give them advantage in battle, and of course, like I said, it turned them into bouts of psychosis and had them kill off each other.
I'm with Haley Atwell's character on this one. Why the hell would you make this, Howard?
Right.
Apparently, it's supposed to be like some stamina booster or something like that to keep you awake or whatever.
Yeah, shit, doesn't it? Stamina boosting bloodlust.
Like, what in the fuck? Like, what calculations did you fuck up to get to this?
Right.
I think the Red Skull was snuffing this shit for the goddamn hours.
Yeah, so we figure out this is the reason why Johan Finoff, who, interestingly enough, I learned through an interview, he's actually supposed to be Dr. Faustus.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. Pretty cool.
Actually, I'm with you. I just looked that up, too. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Side note for your ass.
Exactly. So that's the reason he has blood in his eyes, man. He's so hell-bent on revenge because of what occurred.
Mm-hmm. Killed his family.
Right. So Stark hatches up a plan to have this I guess like a thank you meeting or something. This is basically a publicity stunt to say like, hey, Howard Stark, he's innocent, whatnot.
Kiss Howard Stark ass day.
Basically, yeah. There's also a funny sequence before this happens where he's like clipping the nose hairs and he's like, hey, how's it look, man? And Charles says like there's a spider's wish.
I thought it was my favorite part was funny when he was kept telling Thompson, he was just like, and lovable.
Tell him the innocence of his speech, like,
tell him the genius. It's a national treasure that we should have a Howard Stark in our time. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Oh, you know, no, my favorite part was my funniest part is when Howard Stark kept trying to guess Dottie's name.
Oh yeah, I was thinking of that lady. is it Isley? No. It's not. What is it? Is it Jade? I forgot what he was saying. Some shit like
Deborah. That. Yeah, right on. She's popping this motherfucker. It almost looked like she had feelings for him because the way she was hitting him. I was just like, damn, is that Howard Dick got your ass, huh? Don't fuck with a Stark.
They did go away to the island for a weekend?
Yeah.
So hey, man, that's. Just,
Hey, you know what Howard Stark can tell Tony is, I fucked Black Widow. Son, you slipping. You ain't no son of mine if you ain't fucking that right there.
Give me that Arc Reactor back, goddammit.
Give me that Iron Man suit. Oh, what if he was War Machine? God damn. The Starks. Oh man, you know what? Yeah, damn it, Thanos, you need to use that time stone. You need to travel to this time frame. Bring him back to present day time. I would love to see Howard Stark and Tony Stark working together. Tony Stark would have to kill his ass.
You wanna get a goddamn thing done.
No.
Arguing the whole time.
Who gonna fuck the most?
That's my son.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine.
Especially if Black Widow starts even flirting with Howard and shit. Like, he's gonna be like, hey, I've been hitting on you since Iron Man 2, goddamn, when you was in my shitty movie. What the hell?
Yeah, you gotta travel back to the sequence in Iron Man 2 where she was boxing Tony. Or not Tony, Happy Hogan.
Happy, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he just wrapped his legs around him. He's like, get in that ring, fuck it.
Howard gonna use the time travel to be fucking on top of Tony's body with Black Widow. Vision's gonna be somewhere in the background going, that's illogical. Diesel gonna be in the background too. Groot.
So Howard, he volunteers at his bait at this press conference, and turns out it's successful. Cause I forgot to mention the beginning of the sequence. They hypnotize this black cop who catches onto their act. Unfortunately, and they get his ass down.
Oh yeah. They do that brother wrong. I love it. Was that the first black man we see in this show?
No, that's not the first one.
Okay, I'm about to say.
At that club.
That's right. I'm about to say, if that's the first black man we saw and he's a cop, I was like, damn, that's some ironic for your ass, right? Some irony for your ass right there. Jesus Christ. So they did give us power back then, huh?
I guess it's Marvel Universe. Yeah.
That mouse is saying, diversity equals cash. Huh?
You know, we're all about diversity nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Progression.
Women and black people.
So yeah, this hypnotized cop, he still starts away, and Stark knows something is up, and then the cop stops the car. I guess he's about to kill Stark or something. The other people intervene. Finn Hoffman, Donnie Underwood, Black Widow. And so the SSR agents come upon his body and find him dead. Yeah, and so we also arrive to Howard Stark's location, and it's
It was like a private air. I remember airfield. Jarvis said it was his other
His second one that he didn't find.
Yeah, his second vault and shit like that. And I was like, how the fuck you not find this big ass? This motherfucking airfield is huge. It's a big ass Stark name on the outside of this place, man. I know they drove for like, cause I know it was daytime in 11, it was nighttime, but fuck, come on now. Y'all apparently wasn't looking for Howard that bad now.
Right.
This motherfucker off on, they in Manhattan and shit. They're in Brooklyn. They're in Brooklyn. This shit taking place in Queens. This right down a bridge cross and shit like that. Like, damn. Shit, y'all didn't look that hard, huh? Y'all must have just stayed in the city of Brooklyn looking for him. Like, well, he couldn't have gone that far, huh?
while they're at this undisclosed location for the airfield, he hypnotizes Howard Stark into flying over Manhattan or the larger part of New York with this canister full of that gas. And so you see him, Howard Stark, imagining the snowfield back into when he was searching for Captain America.
Yeah, that was actually badass. I actually liked that. I actually liked that scene a lot when they showed him with the shield and shit like that. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, because you see Peggy Carter in this, I guess, sort of dream sequence. Yeah, she's holding up Captain America's shield. She's like, hey, yeah, go ahead and find him and whatnot. So, yeah, so he buys into that, and so he's off on his way.
It almost felt like Howard feels guilty that, you know, he set it up in here that he was just like, you know, all the things I've ever created, Captain America was like the one thing I actually did where I felt I did something right. And I was like, damn, that actually had some meaning to it, you know, some feeling for it, whatever, because it makes you wonder, like, all these fucking inventions that he created, whatever. And pretty much the logic of Tony Stark, you know, from the first Iron Man, where created all these weapons, didn't really see the means of it or anything, just making money and being a playboy and stuff like that until he got kidnapped or taken hostage and shit. And saw his weapons using for bad or whatever, and now he feels like Iron Man is the one good thing he has, you know?
Right. Yeah, so that kind of plays into this whole idea of his adventures, because at the end of the day, Captain America, he's pretty much one of his inventions.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, shit, Captain America's wearing his inventions, you know? So,
yeah, he pretty much is his greatest invention of all time. Yeah. He's a mark upon the hierarchies of humanity.
That's actually a damn good point, to be honest, because, I mean, Captain America, obviously, we know in the comics, the general audience, whatever, he's fucking huge, and Marvel and DC, I mean, he's, like, one of the biggest characters around. He's up there with Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, and all them, and Iron Man, and shit like that. You just know that name. That name, you can't say that name, and somebody goes, who's that?
Yeah, because everything else is just, you know, material item, oh, this gun, oh, this gas grenade, or this strain of whatever. Captain America, he was a human being, a great human being at that.
Mm-hmm.
And he stopped the larger part of World War II, and he accomplished so much in protecting America's rights and whatnot.
And that's the thing about Captain America, too, and whenever you talk about Captain America, because whenever you talk about Batman, you go like, I love his attitude and or his tool, his utility belt or his cars or something like that. Or you go to Iron Man, I like the armor itself and shit. Like, when you talk about Captain America, you are talking about the man.
Right.
It's nothing about the shield. You'll never hear nobody bragging about that shield or anything like that. It's always about the man, because that man just, he idolizes and stands for something more than just a hero, you know?
Right, because we learned later on that it wasn't just Peggy Carter that fell in love with him. Also Howard Stark.
Howard Stark did too. You know, it's funny because I don't know how Marvel does it, but they always find a great way to hold two tones and scenes and shit like that. And it was a very emotional scene, but yet still hilarious. Because right. Howard Stark is such a flamboyant asshole character, you know, so straightforward character. You just kind of like, I don't ever expect to hear that from his words. And when he said it, you didn't know if to take him serious or not, but you can see the look in his face. Like, it's one of those moments where you just start, you want to laugh at your friend for crying, just like, but you like, damn, something really is wrong with him. Oh, it's okay. The fuck, Howard? Because I know if I'd have been there with Howard, I'd be like, what the fuck did you just say? Wait, I thought this, you know, it was funny, all eight of these episodes watching it, you see Howard for, man, I want to say at least probably 20 minutes out of all eight episodes, right? And I felt like I got so much out of why he does what he does and who he is out of this with the whole Captain America thing just from that one speech he gave.
Right. I agree.
I thought it was actually a nice little touch or whatever and shit.
Yes. So we pick up things where, like I said, the SSR agents, including Haley Atwell, Peggy Carter, they come upon this abandoned airfield, and then they go up to the communication. Well, Peggy goes up to the communication tower, and she finds Dottie Underwood and Finhoff trying to continue coaxing.
I'd have shot Dottie in the fucking head.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wouldn't have wasted no fucking moment with
right,
that bitch.
She was there with a shotgun, correct?
Yeah, they all had shotguns and shit. I was like, I'd have shot that bitch right in the head. As soon as I saw her reaching for that gun, I would have been like, oh, my finger slipped.
She was still acting all prissy and shit. Oh my god!
Yeah, like that. That shit was creepy as fuck.
I was like, wow, she still does.
I was like, after all the shit that she know you done now, you still gonna try to play that bullshit, huh? I was like, I'd have shot her just for insulting me with that.
Right, exactly.
She used that shit to get close, and fucking, that's when the fight scene happened.
The fight scene, the one you've been waiting for.
The one I've been waiting for. Oh, it was so good. It was so fucking good.
It was an awesome fight indeed.
You know what? I took Peggy for granted, man. I didn't. She held her own and then some.
She held her own. Yeah, you talking all that shit. Like, nah, Black Widow got this shit in the bag.
Black Widow gonna beat that ass or whatever. But no, Peggy, she threw out some badass moves of her own. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. I just wish this fight went on longer, actually.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That was my one complaint. I was like, damn, I wish this could have went on for. I wish this would have been like the end of the raid, too.
Right.
Let them fight.
Can't watch it now before a cameo.
All right, if they'd have got that that Russian motherfucker, focus. Now let them fight.
Can't watch it now to play that role well. You know, hypnotized.
Ken Watanabe would play that role well in any martial arts action film. Matter of fact, he should have a role in Avengers 2 when Ultron shows up. He should just say, you hear all the normal people in the background, the extras and shit going, oh my god, what is that? Oh, he's destroying the city or whatever. And you just see Ken Watanabe on the side. He just out loud, let them fight. Iron Man shoots the first blast and shit.
Oh, man. Make it happen, Mark. Make it happen. Reshoot. Do whatever you
need. Oh! He should be in Batman vs. Superman.
Oh, shit.
that scene we saw at a Comic-Con where Superman's fighting down, Ken Watanabe should just pop up out of the door on the rooftop and just go, oh, let them fight. Batman couldn't. We knew that wasn't Batman turned that signal on. That suit's too goddamn heavy for him to move in, whatever. That was Ken Watanabe. Make it happen.
Oh, man.
Let them fight. Oh, Godzilla is so serious. Man, come on now. Y'all can't tell me that scene wasn't no joke. Come on. They had that music playing. That crappy-ass music. You know, maybe that's not a Warner DC thing. That's a Warner Brothers thing. That's a fucking Warner Brothers making these decisions, or whatever. But yeah, put that song in there right there, whatever. Shit, people gonna take that shit serious. Oh man, God!
Please, man, please, Marvel. For every final fight, you gotta pick King Wakanda. Say that line, like Infinity War. Are they fighting Infinity? No.
Yes.
I didn't want that Avengers Assemble bullshit,
dog. Let them fight is the new. Oh, shit. Hey, that motherfucking can do it. I mean, if his ass was in Transformers 4 playing the most racist goddamn thing ever saw. People, if you... You know, that's the one thing you gotta see Transformers 4 is that motherfucker. Because you can't believe that's Ken Watanabe when you hear that shit going... Oh, Ha Soul Sensei. Oh, I was like, what the fuck? Oh, shit. Oh, Sensei. We are Sensei Prime is back. I was like, no, he's not doing this shit. You know what? You can't even call that racist, though. It's like a fucking Asian man doing it.
Yeah, he signed up for that shit.
I wonder if Michael Bay told him to do it like that or he did that shit on his own, though.
Oh, I don't know.
Because you, no respectful fucking man of their race or whatever will look at a person telling them shit and go like, oh, hell yeah, I do that shit. Especially Ken Watanabe, come on now, that's a name.
Ken Watanabe
got more fame and power than most of the motherfuckers that was in that fucking movie. Come on now. He's respected in Hot Wheels was. Then 2014 rolled around.
Good for him, man.
Next Turtles movie when they fight Shredder again. Let's just fight. Matter of fact, he's perfect for that. That's Japanese.
Let him be Shredder.
Oh, yeah, make him. We gonna fight. Oh, shit.
Oh, boy. Well, that was a nice tangent.
Oh, yeah, it was, actually. I think I need to edit that out and put it in another bonus.
Seriously. Another hour long bonus.
You know what? That's what we're doing next. People can't watch it now. Oh, shit.
Damn, how do I go on now?
I know. Where are we at? I think we was at the fight scene. That's how we got. Yeah, the fight scene.
Fight scene, yes. So, yes. Peggy, you think she incapacitates Donnie Underwood. She throws out the window. She lands on the plane.
That shit was hilarious.
Yeah, you see stream of blood come from her head. You think, oh, shit, that's it. That's Anna Dottie. Damn, that was easier than I thought.
Kicked her ass out the fucking window. She gave her that Dave Chappelle Bruce Lee cross kick that he gave Rick James.
Yes.
I was just waiting for Peggy when she looked out the window to say, I'm Rick James, bitch. Goddamn, my lungs hurt now. Recap's over, people. We in pain right now.
Sorry, people. I'm trying to get through this. She's hilarious.
We've been drinking. That's
yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, so we see... I forgot. How does Thompson... I know Sosa and Thompson, they intervene with Finn Hopper. How does Thompson again... How does he get incapacitated? Because he gets knocked to the floor.
Yeah, he was walking in the airfield, and he heard a pipe drop on the ground or something like that, and he was going towards it.
Right, and then, right.
And then the focus motherfucker.
Yeah.
I think I saw him in focus, the movie, whatever. He told Margot Robbie, focus on Robin, that nigga. And then once he knocked out Thomas, that's when Sosa came in with the earplugs.
Came with earplugs, and you think he's getting hypnotized at the moment because he's playing into it. you know, Finn Hop doing his focus shit. Focus,
you crippled motherfucker. Your life is miserable. Nobody respects you. You can't even make it up the escalator. Stairways aren't your friend. Professor Xavier won't recruit you.
Yeah, so he's trying to coax Sosa into shooting Thompson in the head. But you figure out Sosa, no, he ain't buying into this shit because he's a smart guy. He has earplugs on.
Real smart, actually. That was actually the smartest shit I saw in this show. And you know what I noticed in this show? They hit hard in this show. Man, because every time somebody gets hit, it's like, I don't know if it's just the technical, the sound wise, or whatever. They make that shit loud as fuck. When he hit him with that gun, I was like, damn, Sosa, you're going to have to fucking kill him.
Yeah, exactly.
They stuck him in that Bane mask later.
Yes, exactly.
No, you know what he was? He was that dude in Dark Knight Rises that couldn't speak English. That was telling I guess he was the doctor or whatever. That was telling Batman, if you want to make it out of it, do it without the rope. Let them fight. Actually, you know what? That'd have been a perfect scene in Dark Knight Rises. Because remember when Batman was walking up to Bane at the end of that movie and shit like that, whatever? That'd have been perfect. Ken Watanabe just yell out, let them fight! Especially when Batman's you've gotten better, my friend.
Batman, you need to focus.
I hate what they did with Bane at the end of that fucking movie, man. That motherfucker was a presence because of that voice, man. That voice was awesome. I'm sorry. Oh, shit. People, check out Bane plays Slender. Those guys do a great fucking voice, and that shit is hilarious, too. I was born in the darkness, Slendy. Cody, you should do that. You do a good Bane voice.
I should do that. Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
I'm gonna do a Bane commentary this episode.
You know what? When we do our movie commentary, we do Dark Knight Rises, you do the Bane voice the whole way through.
There you go.
I'll talk like Batman all the way through, you talk like Bane all the way through. All you have is a shield. Should be Bane for Halloween.
I should.
The Black Bane. Hey, you look good in that trench coat, bro. You know what? They wouldn't even know you Bane. They'd be like, damn, that's a pimp. Shit. Oh, shit.
Man, yeah. So, yes, we catch up to Peggy Carter, which was actually a nice callback to the ending of Captain America, actually.
Yeah.
The First Avenger. With her on the radio and with the guy on the other side in the plane. I was like, okay, that's a nice juxtaposition right there.
I'm actually glad you caught that, too, as well, because that's all I kept thinking about when I was seeing that. And she was pouring on the same amount of emotion as she did in the first Captain. I was just like, damn, girl, you could have shot those back-to-back when you did Captain America. Because I was like, I'm seeing the same. Because I watched Captain America, I don't say right after, but the day after I watched, and I was just watching that ending, and I was looking, I was like, damn, dude, this chick is a fucking great ass. She just portrayed the same performance in a movie that it came out about 4 years ago, but I'm sure it was being made in like 08, 09 or something like that or whatever and shit. Probably 2 years of production or whatever and shit like that. But damn, for her to pull that same shit off, I was like, God damn, Hayley Atwell, I love you. I fucking love you. If only we could bring you to present day time now. Oh, that's all I want now.
So she's trying to coax Howard Stark to believe the opposite. Cause he's still stuck in La La Land, believing he's in the snow fields looking for Captain America and whatnot. And then they send Jarvis up to possibly shoot him down. Jarvis really doesn't want to fucking do it, but he's the only one that can do it.
Shit got serious right here. He looked like he didn't want to do it, but Jarvis had a straight face on. He's just like, which comes to a funnier scene later. He's like, this is what Howard Stark would want. Which we later find out. No, I don't want that. No. What the hell wrong with you? He's like, you're going to shoot me down? Who the hell told you to do that? He said, I thought you would have wanted that, sir. He's like, no. I wouldn't want you to shoot me down.
Because he's getting closer and closer to New York, and like Jarvis thinks he had no other option but to shoot him a pig. He's like, no, wait, I got this. She's just like, wait. And finally, she gets Tony Stark to come back to reality. He's like, damn, what the hell is going on? I'm fighting my ass. What the fuck?
Damn, they so close to each other. You just called him Tony Stark.
Oh, did I see that? Stark.
Oh, they're really close in. Shit. Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. That apple didn't fall nowhere far from that tree, bro. That's why Tony grew up fucking not liking that motherfucker.
Exactly.
Everything his fucking father would be. Like, what's his name said in Iron Man 2, Samuel Jackson? You didn't know your father very well, did you? Shit. Yeah, exactly. Hate to see when Tony has a kid. God. That was the only thing missing from that next Avengers shit, whatever. Where's Tony's child at? That's what I want to know. Jesus
Christ.
He'd probably be a little dick, dude. I swear. Shit, Jesus. What do you mean, probably? He would be. Shit.
Yeah. Shit. Yeah. So, anyway, things essentially fend off their plan to gas all of New York, and then we head back to the SSR. Then Peggy, she becomes respected by her colleagues, finally. All that shit, finally, getting her respect, her due diligence. Yeah, as until, like, who was that? Who was that agency that walked in? I forgot who they were.
Oh, I fucking forgot. They did say it too.
I forgot who was that.
Yeah, pissed off Sosa and shit like that, because they was giving Thompson all the credit and shit like that.
Right.
Which was fucking hilarious. I was just like, because these motherfuckers came in there sucking that dude's dick. I was just like,
shit, okay. He walked in and was like, hey, where's Sergeant Thompson at?
Thompson, they knew his name and everything. I was just like, Thompson been in the background. Yeah, exactly. Chief Dooley must have fucking said his name or something like that. That's the only way you could know his fucking name. And last time I checked, he was on his ass. Shit. Matter of fact, he got saved by a cripple.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he got saved by a cripple and a woman in this show. I'd be pissed too if I was Sosa. You know, I'd be pissed. You know, I understand why. It's funny because Sosa and Peggy Carter are almost on the same side of the coin here and shit. Like, the fucking Two-Face coin, because they're treated the same pretty much.
Yeah, basically. You can get down to it, yeah.
He's just the man version of it, that he has a little bit more leeway than she does, you know. But I'd have fucking killed Thompson. Been like, man, I saved your fucking ass. Your retarded ass. Remember, I saved you from an old man. Damn, ain't this a bitch? Shit, didn't get credit. But Peggy was fine with it. She didn't seem to have a problem with it. I guess she just, she's probably said one step at a time. That's all.
Yeah, she's like, oh, fuck, whatever. I don't care about all that.
One fucking step at a time. I'll be goddamn shit. I ain't gonna lie. Did you ever think that Howard was gonna get that in this show?
Well, Peggy?
Peggy, yeah.
No, not at all.
No. There was times in there where they had moments. I was just looking. I was just like, is Peggy gonna drop that guard? Give Howard some? She's like, oh God, no, no.
Nah, she
had too much respect. Yeah, she does. Because it goes back to that scene where I think it was when she was in his house. Oh yeah, because at the end of the show they get him a house or something like that, and she was just like, I don't want to touch anything that Howard's been nowhere near or anything like that. And we had Peggy's fine ass friend move in with her.
That's right, yeah. Peggy and Angie moving to that penthouse.
Oh my God, they're gonna have some dreams together in there. Oh my God, yeah. Call your mama. I bet she's just as fine as your ass. Yeah, that's all I was saying. I was just like, oh Lord, That's like the ultimate MILF and daughter combination right there. And the thing is, Peggy or. And the thing is, Hayley Atwell don't even look that old, but she looked like she could have played that girl's mom, but... Oh, my... Oh, good... Can only dream, Cody.
Do you need a moment,
P1? Yeah, I do, actually. You can only dream. That's all I got to say. Ooh, well, my glasses got foggy. Jesus Christ, that happened. Shit, my eyeballs chewing off Steve. They say if looks can kill, shit, if P1's looks can kill.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck. Damn. Alrighty then. Oh, but Cody. People's like, oh, that's the ending, man. No, nah.
We find out that Howard Stark believes that the vial of Captain America's blood got taken away from him when he got captured earlier and all. But no. Come figure out. Jarvis stole off of him because he didn't think it belonged to Tony Stark. He thought it belonged to, I'm like, God, I keep calling him Tony Stark.
Yeah, I'm about to say, I was going to let you go. I was just like, let's see how many times he says it.
I'm sorry.
They're the same goddamn person, pretty much.
Howard Stark, sorry, yes. He stole the vow of Howard Stark because he truly didn't believe it belonged to him. He thought it belonged to his one and only love at this point, Miss Peggy Carter, which was commendable and respectable. And that made total sense to me.
You know what I liked about that, too, is just you really saw that, like, Jarvis really respected Peggy Carter in this whole series. I mean, because he really didn't have to be doing anything he was doing and shit. And you thought that earlier in the episode, he's like, okay, it must be a reason why, not just because Howard told her. And even when she decided to leave both her, him and Howard, whatever, he was still wanting to tag along. It's because of this moment right here, he really did respect her as a human being.
Exactly. Exactly. So they show her with the bottle of blood on the Brooklyn Bridge, I believe.
Oh, yeah. It was a beautiful scene.
Beautiful sequence. CGI looks fantastic.
Cinematography looked great too. It was very heartwarming actually. It was very really beautiful.
Very heart-tugging moment, man.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they could have easily put this whole season on the Captain America: First Avenger Blu-ray, and
right.
It would have been fucking like a nice little sequel in between, if you will, or after whatever, because it really was a nice wrap up for that whole storyline.
Right, because this is finally her, I guess, letting go in a way. Even though I know she really does. That's Captain America.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. They even said it in that conversation she had with Howard when she was telling him. She was just like, "We all love Steve. I love Steve. I know you loved him, whatever. But this is proof right here. We have to let him go. He has to go." And she and somewhere Captain America was like, "You ain't letting this go. Come on."
Exactly. Now.
Come on now. Look at this. Look at this. Yeah, look at that beautiful ass butt. Come on now. Did you see him in Avengers 2 trailer when he broke that axe around that? Come on now.
I saw that.
Yeah, his shirt almost ripped off. I was like, ooh, Lord. Ooh, Lord. Ooh, shit. Chris, slow down, man. Come on. I'm black. The blood pressure can only take so much now. Jesus. Shit, yeah. Hey, Liam, I can't move on. What make you think you can? Come on. Shit.
We can't move on.
Yeah, exactly. And you was getting that. I wasn't now. Come on.
Hey,
we'll be
seeing it from outside.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Shit. Mm. And you know who was on the other side of that bridge, too?
Who was that?
Thomas Jane from The Punisher in 2004. Same background, same everything. That's Marvel connected, baby.
11 years of the making.
Oh, you're if you rewind in slow motion, people, you'll hear Thomas Jane in the background. Frank Castle is dead. Call me the Punisher. Ban-an-an-an-an, eyes wide shut. Same sunset and everything, Cody.
Why did that happen?
I saw that leather jacket in the background billowing in the wind with that green charger. 11 years in the making, baby.
Oh, man, Marvel, man. It's called a plan. Goddamn.
Oh, man, they ultimate plan this shit, bro.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I'm waiting for the next movie to tie in Warzone. Make it happen, Daredevil. Make it happen. You know what? That teaser we saw where he's walking down the hallway, that was the apartment building where Punisher Warzone jumped into.
God damn it, Devil!
That was like 5 minutes before the Punisher jumped in that window. He was looking for Looney Ben Jim's second brother. Damn, that was awesome.
So that wraps up the episode. Or does it?
Or does it? Marvel.
Marvel does it. Marvel does it.
Marvel don't end. They don't just end. They it's always something. Even on the TV, that's a damn shame. Even on a TV show, you're waiting. I'm just like, credits ain't over yet. Something's happening right here.
No. You see Finhoff getting shipped off to a prison in his Bane mask.
That Baymax was more fucked up than Bang Soldier. Like,
that's... It's like inside his mouth
and shit. Yeah, that shit was attached to his neck and shit. I was like, Jesus Christ, dude. I was like, you better hope Howard didn't design that shit, because his shit blows up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you see, he's in this dark-ass cell. You think he's all alone. But no, he's not alone. You hear a very familiar voice come from the darkness.
Oh, my God, man.
Boy, and it's revealed to be the one and only Artem Zola.
Woo! Winter Soldier!
He was talking all kinds of crazy shit. I forgot exactly what he said. I just remember him saying, you know what they said about America? It is the land of opportunity.
Land of opportunity. Yes. Oh, I've been giving him Russian accents. Hold on. I'm fucking... that nigga German, right? Yeah, he German. we need to get our German fan on here to do that shit. But, that, yeah, I'm with you. I don't remember what he said particularly. He was talking some mad shit. Like, he was talking some Red Skull level shit. Like, I was just like, this nigga ain't shut the fuck up yet. Shit. Like, you can't tell if Mr. Focus over here is even paying attention, or he's just like, can you help me get this goddamn thing off my mouth right now? You just talking, bro. Because he just stood up and was just like, he's like, they don't have us beat. We're not defeated yet, my friend. So you can either get on your knees and blow me or whatever, or I can rule in the pressure of Hydra. Elytra. I think he whispered, Elytra. That was, man, I dropped my tablet and went, I was like, goddamn right. That is goddamn right. Artem fucking Zola, man. That's how you fucking... Gotham, that's how you fucking introduce characters. Jesus Christ, man. This dude's been in... We've seen him in two scenes probably all together. The two Captain America movies or whatever. And this motherfucker has no fucking purpose in his cinematic universe. We see him here, standing ovation. I'm like, hell yeah, bring that guy back.
Perfect.
That guy plays that character so fucking well, too. Fucking perfectly. Was the Rock? Rock? Goosebumps. Goosebumps, baby. Because finally. Artem fucking Zola. Because you know what season two bringing now.
Oh, boy.
Oh, the infiltration of S.H.I.E.L.D. God damn it. Oh,
that's
my.
What I'm waiting for.
God.
Season two.
Season.
Sly as Marvel, man. Sly as
And you know what the thing is, too? They don't even have to jump in that. They can say that for season three, because, or the ending of season two, because season two, obviously, they're going to show how you set up S.H.I.E.L.D. first. Mm-hmm. And then probably it's going to be a little build up. Probably by the fifth episode, that's where they probably show Artem Zola or something like that. I'm just curious how they why they got his ass out that prison. He must have been useful for something or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I know in Winter Soldier they say, oh, I faked it and turned a new leaf or whatever. And, you know, it was like, yeah, you slimy bat. They should have put a fucking microphone in your goddamn cell. That motherfucker was talking some, he was talking some Hitler shit in that goddamn cell. Like some straight up fucking Hitler. Only thing was missing was that nigga didn't throw his hands up at the end of the air or whatever. Exactly. Shit, hell Hydra shit. I mean, if that motherfucker gave you that speech, you would have no choice but to join Hydra.
Seriously.
The way he was talking. Me and Cody could have been sitting in there tied up and everything talking about, I'd never fucking joined no fucking. This motherfucker come out the shadows talking that shit would have been like, where's our suits at, boss? Where do you need us?
Would you say cut off one hand, two, bro? Okay.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense to me, Cody. And that motherfucker made me understand why they're suicide bombers. It's like, damn. Shit, dude. If I had someone talking to me like that, fuck, man. I guess us Americans really don't understand Cody. Shit.
It's not religion.
Fuck, dude. Yeah. Hey, sorry, Cap. I'm on that. You better give a good speech in Captain America 3, goddamn it, because I'm about to be on this Hydra side in a minute, bro. You had me when we were in a soldier, but you in a losing battle right now. Oh, man, that was a beautiful ending. I got two different endings or whatever. One that got me excited. One that, with the Peggy Carter bridge scene with the Punisher and shit, that brought almost a tear to the eye, you know, just wrapping up, like, the whole Captain America storyline with, you know, the kind of like the what-if story, you know, what happens to... Oh, I know a lot of people say this, what happens to Jesse after Breaking Bad and shit like that. Whatever. This is kind of what happens with Peggy Carter after Captain America and shit like that. So I thought it was just a perfect way of how they did it. And I won't say I loved it as much as last episode or whatever, but I thought it was just a fucking fantastic season finale.
Yeah, that's how you wrap up the season finale.
I was very fucking happy with this fucking season, to be honest. I was very fucking happy. I really thought it was going to take some time to get into it, but that was one of the best things of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming out first and having so many episodes and being able to fail with so many to know, because, you know, you got they obviously they had to get that TV formula down, because that was something they never touched upon or whatever, and they was probably thinking, oh, everybody wants to see these tie-ins or whatever. It was like, no, nobody wants that. Be on its own or whatever, and that's what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did. It took 11 episodes, but finally got on this track and shit, and Agent Carter started right off the fucking bat not doing that shit, so... That's the thing about Marvel compared to DC, too, though. We was just talking about, I think, before we started recording, I'm not sure or whatever, but DC's got their fucking shows, like, scattered all over the damn place and shit like that, and they still talking about we want to make a universe with our TV shows and shit, and, you know, the thing about Marvel is, like, you know, they can learn from their mistakes and shit like that, because it's all under one house, same talent, and everybody's working on it and shit like that. With DC, is it's so scattered all of it. It's like, who says Fox don't have they say so? You know, because damn sure we all know Fox is more powerful than TNT and fucking CW. So it's like, and Gotham obviously is doing better ratings than both. Well, we don't know when TNT comes out, but we'll see. So you know, it's like, oh, is Gotham the big dog here, or who's gonna be the head honcho when they make this universe? You know. Oh, fuck that universe. That universe can go to hell then, all right? Damn, man. Oh, fuck, dude. Oh,
boy,
man,
keep that shit. I don't want that.
After that explanation of what Supergirl's going to be, they can keep that shit too, though. Like, why didn't they just put that shit on Fox? It's the same thing as Gotham shit.
Yeah.
The same fucking shit. They probably was like, oh, it's the same shit. We don't want it to look alike now, so, you know, we got to... But it's a win-win for you. If Gotham's doing well, then, you know, fuck it. Supergirl do well, too, then shit. But, that's probably one of the biggest differences, besides quality-wise, between DC and Marvel, though, is that Marvel has the property, the rights, everything's under one house. Josh Whedon shows up fucking to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., to an Agent Carter or something like that. The man is always there, whatever, shit. And that's what DC needs. They need in one house consistency and a goddamn person that's gonna be there viewing every fucking property they do, since it's all gonna fucking tie in.
Thank you, D1. Thank you. How hard is that?
Jesus Christ. Stop scattering your shit all over the fucking place, sounding like it's a $2 fucking whore.
Yes.
God damn, DC. Put some fucking care into your property and shit. It's your shit. You make money. You have a fucking head honcho studio behind Warner Brothers. One of the biggest fucking studios out there. One of the longest running studios and shit. Oh, scatter that shit here and there or whatever. I'm like, God damn, dude. Y'all don't get it. The only reason why Marvel works or whatever is because, and whether he returns for Avengers 3 or not or whatever, is because Josh Whedon is there for every fucking property and shit.
Yeah.
He is the nail in the coffin after making the final verse of the universe and shit. He's there for it. You need that, DC. You can't just say, hey, Batman vs. Superman and the rest of these solo movies going to tie in or whatever, but we got this guy making Justice League, and he don't give a shit about these solo films. He's like, oh, okay.
Well, fucking, what's his name?
Zack Snyder?
No, not Zack Snyder. Goddamn the talented one.
Nolan?
Oh, okay. No, the one that was head of the animated series.
Oh, Bruce Timm.
Bruce Timm. Wow. Yeah. I forget his fucking name. He's hanging around like, yeah, I'm here. Guys.
They was ahead of Marvel 20 years before they even fucking knew it. Hey, the motherfucker's sitting right downstairs on the 11th floor.
Yeah, it's crazy. if you think about it, if they would have implemented him, it could have been like a completely different scenario nowadays.
Oh, yeah. Would have been reverse.
Complete opposite, yeah.
Would have been fucking reverse.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's fucking, that's a damn good point, Cody. It's a damn good point, because you motherfuckers had this nigga suiting in y'all basement since 1980-something, shit.
Yeah.
This motherfucker been around Warner Brothers and fucking DC for that damn long, and you motherfuckers, you let him go? on the eve of when you want to create your universe? Are you crazy?
Man,
you're
talking about missed opportunity.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, hey, Bruce Timm, bring your ass over to Marvel Animation. We need... That's what Marvel's animation need now. So, shit. Bring your ass over here. Shit.
Cut movie spoilers.
Hey, fuck it. Yeah, come here. Shit. I'll let you take over. Shit. You can do it.
Fuck yeah, you can take over.
I would fucking love your opinion. Matter of fact, first question I'd ask him, what happened when you and Warner Brothers? Want to know. Want to know. They told you to fuck off or you told them to fuck off? Which way was it?
Yeah,
Somebody told somebody to fuck off in that conversation. Nah, you can't be with a company that long and just say, you know what? Nah, I give up. I don't give a fuck no more. Nah, something happened.
It was one of his.
Nah, they keeping that shit a secret. One of these times I worked at Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. Cody, man, final thoughts, man.
Oh, man. I'm with you. I didn't think this was as exciting as last week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was still a fantastic episode and still a great wrap-up overall.
Mm-hmm.
I love the emotional ramifications of the whole... This whole season in general, of where Peggy Carter started, mm-hmm. how she ended up finally letting go, quote-unquote letting go of Steve Rogers, finally.
Character growth, goddammit.
Growth, character development, striving towards something.
Fucking Gotham. It's not that hard, shit. especially on fucking TV, you have no excuse. You have no excuse.
Yeah, and I also thought it was cool how we're seeing this this whole SSR and how this is like the beginnings of S.H.I.E.L.D. basically.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also a great touch. And I'm ecstatic to see where that goes next season. I also love the inclusion of the whole Black Widow program overall. I guess it's like a final wrap up. Totally. Are we gonna do a wrap up show?
We are gonna do a wrap up show next week, people, where we talk about pretty much the whole season itself, or what we love and hate, and we're gonna answer all your questions that you've been posting on the show, like we do for Gotham. And
yeah, Diana, I'm glad she's not dead just yet, as we found out later in the episode. I'm curious to see where they take her character.
Mm-hmm.
Episodes and seasons. Yeah, man, I was gonna say, like, overall, man, I love the inclusion of like various parts of the Marvel Universe, like this small little, it's like a small little corner, man, and it did so much with it in the span of 8 episodes. I can't say enough for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, damn, people, how hard is that?
Yeah, Gotham, how hard is that?
Christ, man.
Jesus Christ, man. I love that we got similarity differences between two shows, superhero shows right now. Shit.
Right.
Not that fucking hard. You're both prequels and you're both period piece films as well, if you will.
The whole including Captain America like as an emotional through line of this entire season and the way that wrapped up, man, genius. Fantastic.
Worked perfectly.
Perfection, man.
It made fucking sense for the character, goddammit. Shit.
Yes, Jesus.
Fuck!
And that lovely stinger at the end. My God.
Oh, that was worth all 8 episodes worth.
My God.
Oh. Man. Oh. It threw you some flashbacks to Winter Soldier, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was chills, like, ooh. Chills. My favorite Marvel movie, Winter Soldier. You guys know that.
Goosebumps.
Shit, you're on that level, man. You're all right with me.
Mm-hmm. I think I know what I'm watching later tonight now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we gotta do a Marvel phases or whatever before Age of Ultron. I wonder if they're doing that in the theaters.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they will.
That'd be a long ass weekend, actually. we gotta go to that expensive theater, that one I told you about, then, if they do that.
Hell yeah, she living in them with her.
Yeah, exactly. We can live in them nice ass seats with the food and drink. Shit, fuck it, shit. Bring cash with you too, because we might be drunk, so you might be handing our cards off to motherfuckers and shit. So, do the famous card slide by Cody and shit.
There you go. There you go. So, man, I'm excited, man. This is a great season. This is a great 8 hours of television right here. So, can't thank Marvel enough for presenting this to us in such a down period with television overall.
Mm-hmm.
So, we need that. Thank you. Oh, Jesus Christ, boy, you need that.
What'd you give in this episode?
I'm giving this 5 Haley Atwells out of 5, 5 Louis Spoiler Stars out of 5, High C, all that good shit.
Oh, damn. Okay. That's, yeah. Hey. Well, Cody, man, you pretty much said everything I wanted to say. I'm about to pull a Wayne. Yeah, man, I love that Dottie didn't die, because I still want to get more involved with the Black Widow stuff, and that's going to be fucking interesting as fuck to see how that pays off when S.H.I.E.L.D. is getting built, too. And it's nice that Haley Atwell has, like, you know, a number one villain, if you will. Like, they kind of set her up to be her villain and shit. So that's kind of nice as well, too, because she can go head-to-head with Haley Atwell, as we've seen. She's a pretty big threat to her. The whole I don't want to talk about the season. I'll talk about that next week or whatever. But this episode, yeah, man, it was really, you know, it was just a feel-good moment, man. I had a really, it was kind of like, I don't want to say like Guardians of the Galaxy, because I had a smile on my face through the whole Guardians, but I was laughing really hard as well, too, and having a good time. But this one, for some reason, I just had a smile on my face the whole time. I was like, you know what, this was definitely worth it. And like you said, Cody, I thank Marvel, because me and you have been wanting this since Captain America. I mean, we've been saying they should have made this goddamn spinoff for I don't know how long or whatever. And when they showed it on the Iron Man 3 Blu-ray or whatever, that one-off they had, or I was just like, there go your goddamn show right there, shit. I mean, gee. And then when Captain America Winter Soldier came out and they were talking about the past with Arnim Zolom and shit like that, I was just like, you just set up some blueprints even fucking more for this goddamn story. I mean, come on now, Marvel. You gotta fucking do this at this point. You setting up too much shit from the past to let this go or whatever. So I'm definitely in love with that. I love that we have two sides of pretty much a coin here. Where we have the present day Marvel and the past Marvel with this one episode, with this one show here, and yet it still ties in so nicely in the background. And it almost is like the tie-ins are like the background effect to this whole story, because you really do care about Haley Atwell and her character growth into getting so-called, putting this in quotes, getting over Steve Rogers. It really wasn't I gotta say, this is probably, even though with all the other better shows, or better episodes or whatever, so this is probably one of the most emotional ones out of all of them. A lot of emotional beats in here, and yeah, you know the best part about the emotional beats too is that you understand where the character's coming from, because we've seen the first Captain America, we saw her in Winter Soldier when she was old and Steve was at her bedside, and we've seen her throughout this whole episode. She really does love Steve Rogers, and it's nice to have minor characters, well, not minor characters, but bigger characters have little small appearances like Howard Stark, and he's given just as much depth as she is in his 20 minutes throughout the whole 8 episodes. I was in love with that. I actually loved him in this episode. Well, you love him every episode, but in this one, you felt for him at times, too. So, yeah, man, I'm definitely giving this a high C, too. Can't wait to talk about this whole season in general next week when we get back to this, because it's gone, Cody.
It's so hard to say goodbye, D1.
It's so hard to say goodbye, but you know what? You know what's coming.
The King Watanabe show?
I can't wait for that, but yeah. One more month, baby.
Uh-oh.
One more goddamn month, baby.
You saw a new poster today,
right? I saw that poster today, baby.
He was fucking his ass off. He's like, he knows he's ready. He's like, yeah, oh. He knows.
He said, y'all over, y'all, Agent Carter, right? He was just like, well, let's jump back in the present day real quick. Am I in the middle of Agent Carter, but after you get done with me, don't forget, you got that Age of Ultron coming up, too, as well. It's like, oh, Jesus. Oh.
Oh, baby.
Oh.
Oh, baby.
Oh, my God. Cody. Cody. Look at this property.
My body is ready.
Oh, April can't come soon enough. Cody, we are less than 2 months away from Age of Ultron.
Holy shit.
We almost done with phase, what is this, phase two? Yeah, phase two. You know what? It's time to get done with our normal Avenger members, and it's time to move on to those characters people barely know about, baby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about them Inhumans.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about that Black Panther. I'm talking about that goddamn Captain Marvel, baby. I'm talking about that motherfucking Spider-Man coming home.
You want to stop?
Oh my God. I'm talking about the goddamn Defenders, baby.
Oh.
My God. Guardians are returning to space? Ooh. Oh, God. Oh, Cody. Ooh, Lord. Oh.
All right, breathe.
I'm about to be like that old lady in that video that wanted to molest God or something like that. That you said. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord. Oh. In the words of our good friend Ken Watanabe, let them fight.
Let them fight.
Later, bastards.
Later, you beautiful. Yeah.